satisfy my soul like you. Who on earth could love me and comfort like you do? Who could ever be more faithful and true? Who can satisfy? Who can satisfy like you?
Y hay una fuente.
There is a fountain.
Y él es el rey.
Who is the key? Victorious warrior and Lord of everything.
Él es mi roca,
my rock, my shelter,
mi salvación,
my very own.
Bendito Cristo,
blessed Redeemer, you reign upon the throne.
Hay una fuente.
There is a fountain. Who is a king, victorious warrior, and Lord of everything?
Él es mi roca,
my rock, my shelter,
salvación,
my very own.
Bendito Cristo,
blessed Redeemer,
you reign upon.
I'm still wiping away the tears. I promise it's not from sadness. It's just that was absolutely beautiful. So, most of you are not parents, right? Amen, I heard very loudly up here. When Reverend Phyllis was going on sabbatical, she promised me she was going to give me the easy, good scriptures. So I had the one about circumcision. And then I get this scripture about children and being lost and the gut-wrenching experience that Mary and Joseph must have gone through. And I know that there has to be a way this is working together. So I sat with this, I really sat with this for a long time about what we do with it. So I'm going to ask you, stay with me for a few minutes. How many of you have ever lost a child? Raise your hands loud and proud. So how does that make you feel when you've lost a child? Panic. Sad. Scared. My guess is, now remember, they didn't have bullet trains or turbocharged V6 or V12s or V8s. I mean, they had camels. I mean, you have the fastest camel. They had traveled for over a day before they realized they didn't have their 12-year-old son with them. Now, Mary already knew this 12-year-old was special. Remember, she became pregnant to carry the Messiah. She knew this, not that I think any parent wouldn't feel panic when they realized they had lost their 12-year-old, but this was a special 12-year-old. And it's not like they could pick up the phone or IM or do any matter of social media to find out where Jesus was along the way. I mean, did he fall off a donkey in the ravine? Did they leave him in the caravan that went the opposite direction? They didn't know where Jesus was. They just knew as parents, their 12-year-old wasn't with them. And they didn't know where they would find him. Now, I asked you to stick with me for just a minute. Now we're going to broaden it. How many of you have ever lost your keys? Do we not have some of those same panics sometimes? I mean, we are like, where are they? We lose things all the time that are not nearly as important as a 12-year-old, a human being, right? There's no amber alerts. There's no silver alerts. But loss occurs for all of us. Lose your wallet. I mean, we still, Mac, I'm not sure where I should stand. We lose things that have great importance to us. And some things that we lose are just great conveniences to us. And there's really not much difference in how we react for that. I'm not one to get, like, out of control angry about losing things or about how things happen. But I do feel anxiety. And my guess is that's not just my story. You can use whatever words you want. But we all feel something when we recognize we are not where we're supposed to be, with the things we're supposed to have with us, doing the things that we're supposed to do, being with the people we're supposed to be with. So put yourself for a moment in Mary and Joseph's place. They arrive back after at least a day's journey, right? Because they had journeyed a day away, and they've gone back all along the way. They've reached out to their relatives. They've reached out to see, did we leave him? Did he go home with you last night? So they come back. It's now been 2 days since they recognize they've lost their child. And where do they find him? In the temple. Is a 12-year-old supposed to be in the temple? No. But he's not just in the temple. He's learning from the teachers there in the temple. And the first thing that happens, you gotta love this because it's so like us humans, right? It's so like every single one of us. The first thing that Mary did, she probably, can I borrow you for a second, Mac? I promise I won't hurt you. Come here for a second. The first thing they probably do is they grab Mac and they say, oh my God, Jesus, you're okay. Why did you do this to us? Did you not take us into, how could you not let us know where you were? Thank you, Mac. I didn't hurt you, did I? Okay. Isn't that how it is for us when we lose something? We're like, we have a brief, very, very brief moment of, oh, I found it. And then it's all of the anger and panic and anxiety that comes bubbling up at the inconvenience of what has happened. Just this morning, I got in the car, I drove out. I know I put the garage door down, right? But I drive just a few blocks and I'm like, did I lower the garage? You may have had that moment of, did I turn the heater off? Did I turn the iron off? Did I let the cat back in? We all have those moments where we're just not fully aware of what's going on around us. But in this instance, in this situation, when they found Jesus, there is a whole new level it goes to. Because Jesus says, well, did you not know I had to be here in my Father's house? Did you not know I had to be here in my teacher's house? Did you not know I had to be here in my mother's house? I am preparing for things way beyond where we are. But he left with them, and what we hear in this passage is, and he went back and lived with them in compliance for the rest of some period of time. So, who knows what a clapper is? Clap on, clap off. What's a clapper? Turns the lights on or off, right? So that is a wonderful, wonderful concept, right? You don't have to get up to turn on and off the light. So some brilliant person who's lost their keys one too many times applied that idea to your keys so you could clap to find your keys, right? Remember the days when we first had handheld phones that were still part of our telephone system? I mean, some of you aren't old enough, so bear with me. We're talking about like ancient history, at least 10 years ago. The phones that sit in the base or the cradle, and you couldn't find the phone, so on the cradle there was a little panic kind of button, and it would talk to the phone, and it would go beep, 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 so you'd know where it is. Okay. How many of you have used a GPS? How many of you have used it successfully? Okay. Big difference, right? We're not talking about Apple Maps for the moment, but an actual GPS. There's this wonderful thing you can do in a GPS, right? You can program home so that no matter where you go, you turn your GPS on, let it acquire the signal, hit home, and it'll tell you how to get back where you're going. Okay, so here's the big stretch. We all have a home feature in us. For some of us, it may reside more in our hearts. For some of us, it may reside more in our hands, or it may be in our heads more. We all have a home button. And what we have to remember is that God lives in that place in us. And that when we hit that panic, when we face that anxiety, when we face the unknown, all we have to do is stop, pause, listen, feel God's presence inside of us. And we will make it back at least to a place we recognize. We may not make it all the way home on our first trek. We may have gone too far from where we think we need to be, or too far away from what we think we need to have with us, what we miss, what we've lost. But we can make it back if we just start that journey one step at a time, with or without instant messaging, with or without a working compass, with or without the people we think we should be traveling with. We are home as long as we realize God is here with us, loving us unconditionally every moment of every day. Now, we get lost sometimes in the things that happen to us. We do. There are a variety of reasons we get pushed off course. But it is up to us to make the decision to come back home. I've been reading this book that our pastor gave some of the staff over a year ago, called The Book of Awakening. And it's a daily reflection. And one of the early January reflections, which I lost sight of in the last year, is about a man who was going to paint a bedroom. And he went to the store, he got all the things that he needed, drop cloths, paint cans, painting stirrers, things to put the paint on the wall. And he got home and he stopped like a good person would, and he prepared everything in his garage, and then he was going to walk inside the door. He had his arms full, literally full, so full that he couldn't make it through the doorway. And instead of stopping and putting something down so that he could go through the doorway, he just wrestled through it. And he wound up spilling 2 gallons of red paint. Now think about that in our lives for a moment. How often is it, as we've tried to return home to that place we know in our hearts and in our minds we are called to be. How often do we try to carry all that stuff we acquired on the way, and it just gets in the way and keeps us from going where we know we need to go? That is the power in this message. Can you believe a 12-year-old knew? A 12-year-old knew a lesson we would need to hear again, some of us every day, some of us just once a year, some of us every month, that you are never lost as long as you know you are loved unconditionally, that God is your companion, and that all you have to do is say, just like the children taught us this morning, no matter what you face, all you have to say is, God, can we talk? Will you join me in prayer? God, we do give you so many things to carry sometimes. And we may lose sight of the fact that what we carry is our choice. But be with us. Be with us in our journey. Let us feel your calm and your presence and your comfort. And let us, as we find that, know that is your truest gift to us, your gift of unconditional love, your gift of peace. Amen.